Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Well, I mentioned at the beginning of our gathering today that this is Story Sunday. We do this at different points throughout the year. You know, God has got a story in each one of us, and often we're sitting right next to a story and we don't even know it. And so when we have the opportunity to share story, it's just a reminder of what God is doing amongst us and what he has done amongst us. And we always find Story Sunday to be an encouraging time. This last Sunday was kind of our New Year's service, and we had a bit of a weather issue, and so you may or may not have been able to come to that gathering, but I provided a message, a New Year's message, really, based on the woman with the issue of blood. And to me, it's a powerful story because it really talks about breakthrough, and today's stories really are going to be about breakthrough. In that story, we talked about three different elements. There was a reaching that happened, you know, as she reached out to Jesus. She made the decision of faith to reach out to Jesus, and then there was the step after that was actually to touch him, to take that risk and to touch Jesus. And then after that, it was the receiving, and really, that's what breakthrough looks like for us, is just reaching out to Jesus, trusting him for what he'll do in our lives, and to receive what it is that he has for us, because he has something for each one of us. No matter what it is that we face today, where it is that we're going, God is always, always faithful, and he's with us. And so today, at the end of this time of sharing story, if we just leave this house knowing that one thing, is that God is with you. He is with you, and he's for you, and he's got a plan and purpose for your life, and these stories are going to attest to that. Colin and Janet Bennett are going to come first. Colin and Janet have been part of Living Waters now for just over a couple of years. The cool thing is they're expecting to be grandparents on, what was it, Wednesday? Wednesday's the due date. Okay, looking at mom over here. That's good. And so we're excited for you, and we're really excited for the story that you're about to share. Walk through some of this with you, and I know it was a difficult time, but God is good, and he's always faithful. So we're really happy to hear your story. Let's hear it for Colin and Janet once again, everybody.
We'd only been at Living Waters a couple of months when our story started. It was 5:15 in the morning on Sunday, July the 19th, 2015, when we got the call that every parent dreads. Kyle, our future son-in-law, was so distraught on the phone, telling us that our son Michael had been involved in a serious hit-and-run at the Sun Peaks in Kamloops. All he could tell us was that Michael had hip fractures, a broken collarbone, and serious head injuries, and that we needed to come quickly.
After the initial shock, Colin's first reaction was to pray. Then we called Michael's fiancée, Kaylee, who was living in our basement suite, and got ready to travel to Kamloops together. With only this basic information to go on, we had no idea what to expect when we got to the hospital. And it's amazing what goes through your head at a time like this. Scriptures revealing the truth and dependability of God became more personal that day. I took the truth in the simplicity of God's word and claimed it over Michael and this situation. God's promise that he would never leave nor forsake Michael was a wonderful reassurance that Michael was not alone. God was watching over him when I, his mum, couldn't be there for him. The rest of this scripture tells us not to be afraid or discouraged, and it brought hope and strength. I was so thankful that Michael was still alive, and thank God because I knew he loved Michael far more than I'd ever be able to understand. I thanked him for giving me Michael when I thought I'd never be able to have children, but I also reminded him that Michael was ultimately his child, so I knew that Michael was safely in his care, whatever the future held. I reminded God that he'd given both Colin and me the name Michael for this child when we first found out I was pregnant, even though we weren't Christians at the time. Michael means who is like the Lord. So I pointed out to God that as he'd given Michael this name, I believed there had to be more for him still to come. I know that God works all things for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. I knew Michael loved and trusted God, so I asked God to do as he said and work through this uncertain time for his glory and Michael's good. I have to admit, it did also flash through my mind that God didn't spare his own son, so what right did I have to ask him to spare my son? And also that God had determined the number of our days, and maybe the number of Michael's days was now. But I chose not to dwell on that, but rather on the positive. I prayed for strength for us to face the journey that lay ahead. And as it was a Sunday morning, we were able to contact a lot of people before they left for church. So prayer trains were in full motion by the time we arrived at the hospital.
There was no panic or questioning why this was happening to us. Just a calm acceptance that our lives were being turned upside down and the understanding that the only way to get through this was just as the woman with the issue of the blood did, and that was to grab a hold of Jesus' cloak and hang on tightly. In the emergency department, the first words we heard the nurse say was just how lucky Michael was to be alive, as his injuries were so severe. It was only then that it actually hit home just how close we'd come to losing him. His skull was cracked from temple to temple, and he had two areas of bleeding which were causing great concern.
Kaylee and I were the first to see him, and we got our first surprise. Michael was not all battered, bruised, and bleeding as I was expecting him to be. He just looked like he was having a nap. He surprised me by showing Kaylee he recognized her, and also by trying to put his bad arm up to give me a hug, and I knew in my heart we were good. There is such an uncertainty when you hear the words head injury, so the fact that he knew who we were was huge, and I was so thankful to God for this positive sign. Of course, when the neurologist came to talk to us and explain the severity of the head injury, he could easily have burst my bubble. I remember telling him that Micah was getting married in 5 weeks' time, to which he replied, "That's not going to happen."
Bit by bit, we pieced together what had happened. Basically, three of them were walking in the dark along the hard shoulder of the road. Michael was at the back holding a flashlight behind him when he was struck from behind by a truck. He was knocked 8 feet into the road and about 25 feet forward into the path of the driver. His friends who had witnessed the accident then told us they saw the truck swerve around his body and somehow miraculously missed completely running over him while he lay in the road. We had so much to be thankful for. That afternoon, Michael said a few unrecognizable words, but by the evening, he was speaking a few coherent words, so we had even more to be thankful for. He was transferred to the intensive care unit where the staff were very lenient on the two at the bed policy and allowed all five of us to come and go at all times of the day and night. Over the next few days, he pretty much slept most of the time. But when he did awake, he would put a few words together, then sentences. His progress was amazing, everybody.
My most vivid memory of this time in the intensive care unit was of God's peace and an overwhelming sense of his protection of Michael. We both felt there was a spiritual war raging around Michael, but that he was safe and protected in the midst of it. And I believe our prayers and those of all the people who are praying for him, along with our steadfast and unwavering faith and trust in God, were his protection. We had a calm reassurance that God was in charge, and neither of us allowed ourselves to dwell on any negative thoughts. There was no room for worry, fear, or anger, as we both instinctively felt these were destructive emotions that would harm Michael's healing. Our trust and faith were solely in God, who is bigger than all that we could see and understand in the natural. This was the shield that was protecting Michael, and we weren't going to allow anything to penetrate it that would give the enemy a foothold. God's word tells us we're to be alert as our enemy, the devil, prowls around looking to see who he can devour. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job. Ours is to trust in God, who is bigger than anything the enemy can throw at us, and in Jesus, who has already secured the victory. As a mum, I was acutely aware that my emotions were not the normal emotions of a mother for her son, but there was such a peace around me and I had such a heart of gratitude for all the positive things I was seeing that I couldn't help but be filled with joy at who God was and thankfulness for what he had already done and was going to continue doing. One night, I went to the intensive care at 2 a.m. Kyle was sitting with Michael and I remember him asking me how we could all be so calm when Michael was so badly injured. I explained that I didn't see Michael as he did. He saw Michael lying there so still, hooked up to machines and tubes, and to him everything looked hopeless. But I saw something different. I saw God, who had already shown so many miracles and who was more than able to heal Michael, and I had hope.
Michael spent one day in emergency and 4 days in intensive care before being transferred to the head injury ward. We were told that most people with his type of head injury would spend 2 months in this ward. Michael spent 2 days. When we were told we could go home, I remember looking up to heaven, and in my head I said, "Now you're showing off." After everything we had experienced and seeing God perform miracle after miracle, I just couldn't believe we were actually going to be taking him home after just 7 days.
The specialist who had told us 7 days earlier that his wedding wasn't going to happen now told Michael to go and get married. 5 weeks after the accident, he walked down the aisle, and he and his beautiful wife, who are with us today, are expecting their first baby any day now. God has been so faithful. We were overwhelmed by all the love, support, and prayers we received during this difficult time. Doug and Michael's pastor texted back to every update. Neither knew us well, but both embraced us as family. We did not walk one step of this journey alone. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And Isaiah also says, "God will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in him." We trusted him, and he did just that.
Wow, great words. And Michael and Kaylee are right over there. And so good to have you guys. Seriously, good to have you here, walking on the earth, Michael. It's good. God is so faithful. Colin and Janet, you talked about being so nervous, and you did so well today. Thanks for sharing. That's a hard story to share, but thank you for doing it. Lara Keene is going to come now, and Lara's going to share. She's a student in grade 11, and she's part of our youth network, and we're really delighted to have her come and share her story of breakthrough.
As Doug said, my name is Lara. As I prayed about how I wanted to share this part of my life with you guys today, God showed me that he really wanted me to go deeper than just the facts. So here we go. 3 years ago, I woke up and was completely paralyzed on my left side. The doctors were amazing, even though they were all horribly confused. They performed over 20 blood tests, and after 2 hours of being in an MRI, the team was fairly certain I had had a stroke. The news was then broken to me that I had a very small chance of a full recovery. I had doctors and nurses saying to me that things weren't going to go back to normal. And my heart broke because in the grand scheme of things, my life had really only just begun. During everything that was going on, I had people who I had never met or even heard of praying for me and my health. I had people that would come every day and walk through the hallways and just pray. My amazing parents were there all day, every day. My mom was by my bedside, helping me, loving me, taking care of me, praying for me, and reading scripture. One psalm that really stuck with me was Psalm 121. It says, "I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No, my strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains. He won't let you stumble. Your guardian God won't fall asleep, not on your life. Israel's guardian will never doze or sleep. God's your guardian right at your side to protect you, shielding you from sunstroke, sheltering you from moonstroke. God guards you from every evil. He guards your very life. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now and he guards you always." This verse made it very clear to me that God is my guardian, my bodyguard, protecting me from fear and despair. My strength doesn't come from earthly things. The line that said my strength comes from God was so powerful for me because I was lying in a hospital bed with no strength and no hope. But God was right by my side, protecting me and never sleeping. I had a moment of peace because I knew one day God would heal me and give me my strength back. But because the idea of one day seemed so far away, I got really down and sad. I found everything extremely hard, and I lost all motivation to do anything because I told myself my one day wasn't going to be today, and it wasn't going to be tomorrow, and it probably wasn't going to be next Thursday either. So I didn't try in my physio. I closed myself off and almost did more damage than the stroke itself. My friends were immature at the time, and they slowly distanced themselves when I needed them the most. I felt extremely alone and hopeless. But my life wasn't over as I thought it would be. I thought my life would never go back to how it was. And it didn't completely, because God doesn't erase your past. He heals it. And now I do everything I loved before my stroke, but I am stronger both physically and mentally. I'm actually more coordinated now. Yes, it is possible to be that uncoordinated, like I couldn't catch a ball. It was really bad. But God healed me, and I am forever grateful for that. One thing I wanted to say before I go is God gave me this image as I was praying and preparing for today. It's an image of a person standing on a road with a 20-foot-high wall in front of them. And the longer they stood at the wall, the smaller the wall got. And I was trying to think about what this meant and how it related to what I was talking about today. The way I interpreted it was that when we are in the middle of our trials, they are extremely hard and impossible to pass, thus representing the high wall. But if we fix our eyes on God, as Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, where it says, "Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us, and we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus." He heals us both physically and emotionally, thus shrinking the wall. So then we can walk on with our past and reflect and remember, but not still be stuck behind the wall. I personally know I've been stuck behind many walls in my life. And sometimes it's hard to see that it's not the end of you. Always remember that God is bigger than your trials and He is always there for you. Now, as I look back on my stroke and reflect of how dark of a season that was in my life, I see how much it grew me into the person I am today. I also see how blessed I am, and I can truly see His hand working for good in my life, just as He promises in Romans 8, verse 28, where He says, "And we know God will cause everything to work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose for them." Thank you so much for letting me share a personal bit of my story with you guys.
Thanks, Laura. Wow, great, great job. Awesome. Well done. Well, God will break through in many different ways. Sometimes His breakthrough is in times of our own darkness. We're not seeing the light. And so Tony Singh is going to come, and Tony is going to share his story. Tony and Sherilyn have been a part of our Living Waters community now for 6.5 years. They're both now part of our Willoughby campus. I've got two young boys who are absolutely awesome. And let's give a good warm welcome to Tony.
Good morning, everyone. As Doug said, we've been attending here for about close to 7 years now, and I'm married to Sherilyn, and we got two boys. I'm going to start off basically just from the beginning. I grew up in church pretty much my whole life. My parents became Christians when I was about 4 years old. They were Sikh before that, and so that's a whole story on itself. I'd love to share that one day. Basically, I grew up in church. No, like, big issues growing up as a child. You know, I was very fortunate my mom and dad just, like, spoke into my life and always leaded and guided us towards God. And so, you know, in the back of my mind, yeah, God's real. He exists, and that's awesome. It wasn't until probably late elementary school through my high school years is when I really was challenged in my faith and kind of really had to put my trust in Him and try to figure out who God is. As you can see, I'm not the biggest guy in the world, so you know, imagine how small I was when I was in elementary school and high school. Got picked on a lot, bullied quite a bit. You know, didn't really bug me that much. It was more, with me, it was more fitting in than anything. I just never felt like I fit in with a group of people, and you know, by the time end of grade 9 arrived, beginning of grade 10, I just kind of had enough and said I want to belong. I'm getting tired of pushed around and ended up hanging out with the wrong crowd. And, you know, the wrong crowd did accept me and you know, they did become my friends as I thought at the time. But, you know, it definitely led me down the wrong path. And by the time grade 11 and 12 came around, it was, I don't remember it at all. I was drinking like crazy. That unfortunately was my downfall at that point. I honestly don't even remember a lot of my last 2 years of high school. So yeah, partying and drinking and just getting involved with a crowd that was kind of into gangs and drugs, and, you know, by the grace of God, I'm so fortunate I didn't really get super wrapped up in it and was able to get out of that. How I, you know, got into university is beyond me with all that partying and drinking. Happened to manage to get a scholarship to SFU, and unfortunately, I realized very quickly in the first year of university, those high school study skills weren't gonna get me anywhere too far. And so my first year went south pretty bad, and bad grades, just continued the drinking and the partying, and it's almost to the point now where it was, you know, depression had kicked in, and just no idea what I wanted to do with my life, and everything that I had in my mind of being a chiropractor or that sort of thing are just completely out the door. So at this point, depression's completely set in, and you know, I'm just living life and not knowing what to do. And second year university was a life changer for me, and it was a very defining moment in my life. I don't think up to that point, I'd ever really audibly heard a voice of God. A lot of people talk about hearing God and that sort of thing. And, you know, God spoke to me through different ways and still does. But that was probably the one and only time in my life where I've heard an audible that I'll never forget. And I developed a bad habit when I was in high school of driving without a seatbelt. And I continued to do so. And I remember sitting at the top of the hill at SFU at the lights, and my stereo cranked, and I just remember the music just cutting right out and just saying, put on your belt. And I just thought to myself, man, that must have been a lot of drinking yesterday. Jeez, like, I'm hearing voices the next day. This is crazy. So I didn't think much of it. I'm just, whatever. And then I just, like, the music cut out again, and this time it was like, put your belt on right now. And grabbed my belt, clicked it on, and 30 seconds later, at the bottom of the hill, I'm sitting down in a ditch. And I had lost control of my car. It flipped 5 times, end over end, and I landed in a creek upside down. And so I remember coming to and just kind of hanging there and wondering what in the world's going on, and the seatbelt's holding me there. And, you know, right away, I'm just like, oh, man, that was close. And yeah, so climbed up to the, somehow managed to get myself out of this car, and just sitting up at the top of the road just waiting for somebody to stop. And this lady, this sweet little lady, stopped, and she couldn't even dial 911 on her phone, just blood everywhere, and, you know, it's just freaking out. So eventually the paramedic arrived, and I think it was the words of the paramedic, and I don't know if he was a Christian. I never asked and didn't follow up with who he was. And he just said to me, he goes, so it looks like the guy upstairs didn't want you yet. And those words just, I don't know what happened that day, and they just clicked. And it was an 8-month process. I was severely injured. I had broken my ankle bad, partially dislocated hip, dislocated shoulder, 6 broken ribs. A severe concussion. They said if it was any worse, I'd probably be in a coma. But it was during that 8 or 9 months that I think my depression was probably at the worst. Slowly started figuring out who my real friends were, because they weren't showing up anymore. And you know, it was a bad time, and like everything that I had, my car, my freedom, this and that, having to drop out of school, and you know, lengthening that whole process with studies and that sort of thing. It just got to this point where I finally just decided, like, God, I got to go to church. And I remember walking into church and just that one Sunday just laying it all out and said, I'm done. I'm just turning my life to you, and I'm just, from this day forward, I'm going to trust in you. And best decision I ever made. And through obedience, whether it was through tithing and just following him and trusting him and building that, you know, and just hoping in him and building that relationship with God again, and just huge doors opening in my life, whether it was education, you know, getting into a program that, you know, 200 applicants and they accept 15, and I was one of them, completely shocked, but at the same time not really shocked, because I was finally walking this life God had set out for me. And And then 2-3 years after that, starting a business with my brother, same thing. Just, I remember both of us walking out of that bank that day, looking at each other, just going, oh, I can't believe how much money they just gave us, right? And then, you know, and just like, we better make this thing work. And God's been faithful, and we've been in business now for 10 years and still doing well. And, you know, most important thing, and I think God really made me sweat a little bit on this one, was probably relationships, just waiting for a wife. And so he did answer my prayers in that way too, just blessed me with an amazing wife. And now we got two boys. So, you know, he's always faithful, and, you know, I'm not going to stand here and say everything's always been the best either. And, you know, I still face challenges, and I think we all will face challenges. But the things where he's helped and, you know, where I've hoped and trusted, and, you know, they've set these things in my mind that I don't forget. And I think it's important to look back on those things and not forget. So just recently reading a devotional, it's written by a pastor, and I thought it would just really hit me pretty hard, and just remembering those times when things aren't going the greatest. It's called So Far, So Good, and it's based out of 1 Samuel 7:12. I'll just read it. After the Israelites pulled off an upset victory over the Philistines, the prophet Samuel built an altar and named it Ebenezer, signifying that the Lord had helped them to that point. The altar was a way of saying to the people, the God who did it before can do it again. We all need Ebenezers, reminders that God who got us here will get us there, that the God who did this will do that. An Ebenezer is a way of recognizing and celebrating the success God has given us along the way in pursuing our dream. In every dream journey, there are Ebenezer moments. You've got to celebrate those milestones by building altars. Then you've got to surround yourself with those life symbols so you don't forget what God wants you to remember. I don't believe that our greatest shortcoming is not feeling bad enough about what we've done wrong. I think our greatest shortcoming is not feeling good enough about what God has done right. When we under-celebrate, we fall short of the glory of God. We need to celebrate more and celebrate better. Why? Because thus far the Lord has helped us. So yeah, be encouraged.
Thanks so much, Tony, and thank you, Lara. And Colin and Janet, thank you for sharing story today. So we all come to this house, all of us different. You know, we've all had different experiences in our lives and different ways that we have interacted with God. And some of us would be perhaps in the house today and we've not had a relationship with Jesus. But there is this void within that says there's something that's kind of missing. I want to tell you today that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. He really does. And when we talked about the woman with the issue of blood, she reached out to Jesus. That was her decision to follow him, to take the risk and follow this Jesus, to make that decision. And the touching was really a sense of desiring to walk with. When we touch Jesus, we actually are faithful to the things that he's called us to. And then the receiving is how he just pours into us. He pours in hope and he pours in life and through all of our circumstances. As Tony said, it doesn't make everything perfect. Stories of breakthrough are always different for different ones of us. Some of us have prayed for breakthrough and we haven't found that breakthrough yet. And in fact, sometimes we've prayed and we've found the actual opposite to occur. That's all part of the testing of our faith. It really is this place of, do we really trust Jesus for the eventual outcome, whatever it may be? For some, there's going to be breakthrough and there's going to be healing. For some, there's going to be a breakthrough and there's going to be a place, and perhaps we've all found this in our lives but haven't known it, where God has actually saved us from something worse. So breakthrough takes all sorts of different forms. The point of it is this, that Jesus desires to break through in each one of our lives, no matter what circumstance that we face. We have to trust him for the outcome, whatever it may be. We just have to trust him. It may not necessarily be the outcome that we desire, but we have to believe that God knows best. Somehow, he understands. He is the one that knows all things, and we have to trust him in that. but he is interested in us reaching him. He is interested in us touching him, and he is interested in expressing his love to us so that we can receive all that it is that he has for us. So I want us to be encouraged through these stories today that we can trust God and that he is faithful no matter the circumstance you're in. We talked earlier today about Jesus being the light. And some of us today are sitting in this place and we're in a dark place. There is darkness all around us. But if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have a relationship with light. I want you to know that. And that light is beside you and desiring to break into your life. And sometimes we just have to trust God and invite him in to do that. And if it doesn't happen today, we got to believe it for tomorrow, don't we, Laura? We got to believe it for Thursday or for whenever it comes later on. But God knows best, but he really does desire our hearts. So if you're in that place of darkness today, count on the light. God is with you. Even if you can't see him or feel him today, he is with you. If you're in a place where you need healing today, pray and ask God. He may bring healing or he may not, but as I determined as I went through my journey with cancer, my ultimate prayer was this: God, your perfect will be done in my life, whatever it looks like, because I trust you. I believe that you know best for me. I'm going to believe for that, but I can also pray for healing. And so if you need prayer for healing today, let's pray for that healing. Wherever it is that you're at, don't be on the roadside and allow Jesus to walk by without reaching, without touching him, and without receiving. I want to encourage you to reach out to Jesus. Reach out to him. He's there for you. Touch him. Walk with him. He's got the very best for you. And receive what it is that he has. The Bible is full of promises for you and me. You just need to receive them. Would you stand, everybody? Let me pray for us before we leave today. Father, we're so thankful for your story. We're thankful that your story includes us and has from the very beginning. Lord, you have a plan and you have a purpose for us. And I know sometimes it's just so easy to say that, but it is absolutely true. You have plan and purpose for us. I would pray for all of us in this house today that we would know through your Holy Spirit, your powerful presence, your guiding force, Lord, that we would know healing today. Maybe it's the healing of a broken heart. Lord, that we would know healing, and perhaps it's a physical healing that we just need that touch from you today. I would pray in faith for that today, for healing in the name of Jesus. And maybe it is that place where we just need a touch from you, oh God, that we can climb out of the darkness and back into the light. Oh God, would you just illuminate that path forward and give hope today? Would you give hope? Lord, you're amazing. You're an amazing God. We're deeply thankful to you. In your powerful healing, light-giving name we pray. And as people said, amen. So this coming Sunday, we're going to kind of continue on with this New Year's look into 2017 before we jump into our brand new series out of 2 Timothy the week after. Leanne McAllister is going to be speaking this Sunday, and we're going to talk about some practical ways of pressing into our relationship with Christ. So it's going to be a great Sunday. So we'll see you then. And God bless you, everybody. Be careful out there. It is a little slippery.